Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email MaryJo@RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345. Urban Media Today talks sports with Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, Trevin A. Jones, and Alan Lincoln on Urban Media Today Radio.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Urban Media Today talks sports. Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr. Man, first of all, guys, first and foremost, it's a beautiful Saturday. And even if it's raining outside, it's still a beautiful Saturday because we get to get together every Saturday morning and talk. Talk about a couple of things. And I'm going to shout out Aubrey Bruce, who's usually with us. He's a little down under the weather right now, so we hope he gets better. Wishing him well. And, of course, the big guy, Alan Lincoln, going to wish him well as he makes progress as well. He's getting better. I know he's going to come back to the show soon, which is all right with me because we can hear big words from the big guy. We haven't had that in a long time. So I'm looking forward to that. But it's Urban Media Today Talk Sports Saturday morning. You know our replay will be this evening at 6 p.m. And I know today some of us is supposed to be at some type of training camp.
Yes, sir.
All right, Ray Porter Jr. Ray Porter Jr. is our football analyst. I know he's supposed to be at training camp today. And we're supposed, Vince and I are supposed to be there as well. But we'll see, brother. It might be just you all day.
You know, and see, you might have to write a story on me because I might get out there and put a helmet on. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, what I was wondering, were you going to arrive?
Don't do it, Vince.
What were you going to arrive in? You going to follow AB?
Well, he was talking about a helicopter. I mean, he was earlier. He was just talking about a helicopter, man.
But what I said was I wanted to borrow Trevin's helicopter. See, most people don't know he got it like that. So,
and see, what people don't know is my helicopter is a bike. So he'll be biking it up the chair.
I thought you were going to say like a little drone.
Yeah, it could be a drone too.
Well, some of them drones are big enough, so I might be able to fit on one of them suckers, you know.
Yeah, okay, man.
That's a big drone.
But that's what's up, though, because, fellas, because camp's open this week. Ray, I'm going to turn it right over to you because we can start with football. But I got a whole lot of questions about basketball and Jerome Iginla. In case you guys don't know, African-American hockey player.
Yes,
Retired this week. Before I jump the gun there, Ray, we could talk about football, man. Go ahead.
And, you know, I keep forgetting to bring my terrible talent, man. You know, I might just have to get it in.
Keep it at home.
Do you even have one?
I do. Mm-hmm. I have. In fact, two of them were casualties of my fire, but I ended up getting another one. So
I was going to applaud that. But I don't want to applaud your fire because that was a terrible thing.
You're so wrong.
But the towel's going up in smoke.
See, that's why he didn't bring them because we're coming around me and you being from Cleveland, me being from the other side of Pennsylvania. It's like, okay, this is not the territory where you're going to bring a terrible towel.
Oh, absolutely, man. Say that. But I am grateful and excited, man. Just like any other type of camp or the beginning of a season, it's so cool when you hear the players report and get ready for the 2018 season. So Pittsburgh, they reported on Wednesday, and other teams reported as early as Monday. So it's nice to see.
And there's some significant names missing from some camps.
And it's no surprise. I mean, with Pittsburgh, obviously, you know the main one, Mr. Le'Veon Bell. I mean, it's no surprise. I think part of me was hoping maybe he'd have a change of attitude, but no, not at all. He is sitting out, and he'll show up whenever he wants to show up, so – in the meantime, like head coach Mike Tomlin said, he's going to focus on the players that are here. And that's all he can do. And it gives an opportunity for James Conner and Jalen Samuels, who was drafted out of South Carolina, to show what they got. So I think
Doesn't Le'Veon have a little bit of leverage since Todd Gurley signed his deal?
Interesting. See, that's the thing. And I see your point. I really do. But the thing about Todd Gurley's deal, and it's a good deal, I think he deserved it, you know. But that deal's not going to kick in until 2 years from now. It's an extension. He's still on his rookie contract. Maybe that's something Pittsburgh should have done a couple years ago with Bell.
But isn't that what players are looking for, a little bit of security? I mean, Bell right now doesn't have security. And some other players, that are out there that are reportedly going to hold out, don't have that security like Todd Gurley got, and even to another extent to Julio Jones,
right,
who was going to hold out, but Now that they, you know, changed some things up in his contract, throwing some incentives in there so he can bump up that salary a little bit. Even he has security,
yeah,
know, because he still has 3 years left on his deal.
Absolutely.
I mean, some players, you know, like Bell, like Aaron Donald,
right,
Khalil Mack, you know, who deserve contracts, but teams aren't giving them the money.
And you know what? I do applaud Atlanta for what they did, because they handled it from a PR perspective, and they made sure he got into camp, because you just knew Julio Jones was going to hold out.
But if he – see, my thing is, though, I mean, what leverage does he have if he holds out? I mean, 3 years on his deal, he doesn't have any leverage.
No, he didn't have any in the first
place. Here we go again. Did we have this conversation? Mm-hmm. Julio Jones, let me just put the facts out there.
The second best receiver in the NFL.
You can argue he's the best.
According to some people who aren't homers, some people who aren't Antonio Brown, Pittsburgh Steelers fans.
But Antonio's proven it on the field.
But so has Julio. Julio, for the past 4 years, has gone over 1,400 yards receiving.
Brown had 1,533 last year.
Last year. I said Julio for the past 4 years has gone over 1,400 yards receiving.
Brown's had more.
All right.
I mean, I can pull up the stats, man.
All right. So you said Brown had 1,500 last year. Julio had 1,400 last year. Then Julio had 1,400 the year before. He had 1,800 the year before that, and he had 1,593. The only year Julio Jones has been playing for 6 years. Mm-hmm. He's only been under 1,400 yards receiving two of those 6 years.
And he's a talent. I mean, he has done his thing and earned his keep, mm-hmm, for real.
Mm-hmm.
And DeAndre Hopkins with Houston is right behind them as well. So they're the big three.
We're not talking about, oh, so now it's the big three.
I'm just stating
just
facts here.
No, I think he's stalling.
Why am I stalling?
I think you're stalling because you're trying to get some facts to battle what I just told you about Julio Jones. So you're trying to look up Antonio Brown.
I don't have to stall. No, I'm going to – I mean, stats – I mean, let the book talk. Let the stats talk. That's
what
I'm
saying. And that's what I just say. That's right. Julio Jones could arguably be one of the best – could be the best receiver. Some people say he's number two.
What's wrong with being silver?
No, it's all about gold, brother. It's all about gold.
Which is where Antonio is.
Okay, if you say so. The only thing he got on going on gold about him is the Pittsburgh Steelers colors, and I don't know if that's true gold.
You know what? See, that's a shame. Here come the first imaginary towel right there at you. But you know what? I do respect his game. I mean, he's fought through so much, and it's a shame that he wasn't 100% healthy in that Super Bowl a couple years ago.
I definitely agree.
I'll give you that. That's
yeah, I
for
definitely
sure.
agree. But, Vince, man, you're not out of this either, because I'm looking at Cleveland, and Josh Gordon is not going to be in camp.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got Jarvis Landry. Was it Jarvis or Josh? It was Jarvis talking about, you'd be surprised if we don't score 40 points on you. We could win the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, he's supposed to say that.
Yeah.
I mean you have to have confidence to play at an elite level, and I think it'd be you're doing yourself a disservice by saying anything less, and we know wide receivers are divas.
Yep.
So I don't, you know, I like it.
Yep.
I mean, obviously they're not going to. Then I don't think they're scoring 40 points a game. Obviously they're not going to the Super Bowl. But I like the attitude that, you know, I think you have to bring in guys that change cultures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys that expect to win, mm-hmm, expect to put up big numbers. You have to have those guys on your team. With the Josh Gordon thing, I think on one hand, I think it's a good thing that he's being proactive. I know there are, you know, the Browns have a lot of support around him, and they're doing their best to support him during this time.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because of the talent that he has, but I think they, you know, they think he's turned a corner, and I think they think he's a good guy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, he slipped up a few times, but you know, who hasn't?
Right.
So I think they really genuinely are sticking by him, want him to do well, and you know, behind that, obviously, if he does well, you know, they're probably going to do well. So you know, so sort of twofold. But I think him getting out in front, as long as he hasn't slipped up yet, I think it's good that he is being proactive, you know, getting ahead of things.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, you know, he said that, you know, throughout his whole career, he had always did a little something before a game, you know, whether it was marijuana, mm-hmm, or it was taking a drink, a shot, or whatever.
Right.
He, you know, so this is a big step in his life and his career. Mm-hmm. He's now getting to that point where I think there's some high expectations. I think he expects some, you know, some things from himself. But I think it's a tough road. Right. So for him to, you know, at least take a little bit of time away from football and focus on himself and get things right, I think is only going to be good for him.
But that's always scary, though. Every time I hear somebody saying taking time away from football, during the off season, to me, is that time to take away from football. Now, as it's a job. Mm-hmm. So as it comes to training camp, as it comes to the regular season, as it comes to preseason, that's a job.
Right.
You know, and that's when it's time to report.
Right.
So when it's time to report to work and then you have your franchise protecting you, so to speak, it's a good PR move. I'm not mad at the Cleveland Browns. But when you're saying we approve or we're okay with him taking some time away from football, man, the last time I heard that, in reference to that, who was it? The other guy, the quarterback for the Browns when they first got
Johnny
him.
Manziel.
Exactly. Yeah. And then when you heard about him taking time away from football, that was a long time that was taken. Josh Gordon just came back. I mean, he only played 5 games last year, but in those 5 games, he had 335 yards receiving, which is cool.
Yeah.
And everybody might be like, well, what's the hype about that? Because the season before, he only had 303 yards receiving, and that was in 12 games. I mean, in 5 games as well. The last time he played a full season was in 2012, and he had 805 yards receiving, which is good. He had 50 receptions. I'll give you that. His best season was 2013, when he had 87 receptions for 1,646 yards.
Yeah.
He averaged 117 yards a game. So the potential was there, but he already took time away from football. Okay, and when I say that, it's 2015. He missed the entire season.
Like I think he's under a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So and I can't even begin to know what an addiction is like. You know how you go about your life, your daily, you know, doing a certain thing to get you through to the end. And so now he has to change all that. So, like I said, I think it's, I hope for his sake that he hasn't fallen off the wagon. I hope that he's just sort of, you know, he's just feeling a certain kind of way, knowing that the season is fast approaching.
Right.
And he just wants to get everything in order so that he can go out there and be his best.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I respect his honesty, you know, and I respect the like you were saying, the support that Cleveland's giving him. I mean, that honestly to me is a page turner for them. I mean, they're being patient with him. Mm-hmm. They're being patient with Hugh Jackson, which I really give them credit for, because I remember there are times in which they would go through coaches pretty quickly, kind of like how the Yankees used to do it.
Well, trust me, I think he's on the hot seat. I mean,
I think
there's a number that he has to reach, this year.
Mm-hmm.
You now have some talent in place, so and there is no excuse to go winless. There's no excuse to
make Cleveland? Some of the
right.
Yeah, that's just out the
to go to make right. you can't make some of the same mistakes. You have an offensive coordinator
right.
who's going to be calling plays for you.
Right.
You can manage the game, and that's what to me that's what the head coach that's what his focus has to be is managing the game and the players, and let coordinators do their thing, call the plays,
right.
And he can do his thing otherwise.
Well, not even that. I mean, the head coach, Hugh Jackson, he can't afford to lose a game.
Right.
No.
But then John Dorsey, the general manager, he can't afford to lose anything either at this point. Because, it's not saying that he's on the hot seat, but, okay, you're the GM now. You're taking over a team that's winless.
Right.
And only won one game in, what, two years?
Right.
Yeah.
So you as a general manager, the way things have been going in this climate and environment in the NFL, you could be pretty much in trouble, too, after a year.
I think I mean, if some of his picks don't work out, at minus Baker Mayfield, because I don't think he,
right.
If things go the way you expect him to go, he shouldn't see the field, potentially until the last couple of games.
Yeah, it's Taylor's time, yeah.
If Tyrod doesn't pan out, if Jarvis is a bust somehow, Dorsey is definitely on the hot seat. It would have to be absolutely catastrophic this coming year in order for them to get rid of him after a year. Like, you really would hate to, at least I would hate to have to, not it's not the firing, it's the pain. Like you're going to, you know, these guys sign 4 or 5 year deals and, you know, we don't talk about dead money a lot. You know, we talk about it with players, but not necessarily with executives and coaches. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, that's dead money that you're just paying some guy to, you know, to sit on his couch.
Right.
So from that perspective, I would hate to have to restart after a year, because then you're going to have, you know, if that happens, you're going to have another GM who comes in who has a whole different mindset from Dorsey, who Dorsey had a whole different mindset from Sashi Brown.
Yeah, but
so you get it's a reboot all over again.
When does the circle stop?
Right.
I mean, you can't accomplish anything doing that.
I'm talking about reboot, and when the circle stops, I'm going to cut these guys off right there. They're getting deep into the conversation. So Urban Media Today Talk Sports. We're talking a little bit of NFL as training camps got underway this week and are taking place actually today, and we'll be at one of them. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. We're going to be right back with the continuation of the talk of NFL training camp and a whole lot more. We'll be right back after this.
VIPs get the full treatment everywhere they go. First class this, front row that, and all access everything, right? Well, that's what you get when you subscribe to UrbanMediaToday.com. You'll be the first to receive exclusive updates in entertainment, news, sports, finance, health, and fashion. You'll also have a direct line to our online station that gives you the best in R&B, classic soul, jazz, gospel, old school hip hop, and more. What else does an Urban Media Today VIP get? How about a chance at winning great prices like free tickets to shows? That's a good price. Gift cards, Urban Media Today swag, and more. And if you don't get enough of HBCU sports, how about an all-access pass to the latest in HBCU football and basketball online? And also on Urban Media Today radio. And most importantly, you'll receive access to Urban Media Today's podcast on sports, news, finance, entertainment, and more. It's a look inside the urban lifestyle in the palm of your hands or on your desktop. So subscribe today for only a year for $19.99 and we'll do the rest. Urban Media Today is your source for urban entertainment, news, sports, fitness, and lifestyle. So what you waiting for? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com and subscribe today.
You ready, Mace?
Party people in the place to be.
Uh-huh.
It's about that time.
Urban Media Today Talk Sports, Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr. It's the second quarter. Yep, if you missed it, we already went through the first quarter. We don't waste no time. We get right to it. We're playing a full game here. And Ray and Vince are already on fire. We're talking about receivers, and Ray's defending who's that receiver again? No, Antonio Brown. Now I was talking about Julio Jones.
You never not know who he is.
and the conversation kind of progressed to us talking about Josh Gordon and Jarvis Landry with Cleveland. And it seemed like we're always talking about Cleveland, Vince. What's up with that, man?
I don't bring it up.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, we'll keep it going. Vince was talking about Jarvis and the Browns, and I was talking about maybe the GM for Cleveland being in trouble if they don't prove successful this year. And Vince has some valid points. Maybe not so much the GM, but Hugh Jackson is definitely in trouble. I wanted to ask you guys about this, and I don't know if people have been paying attention. There's an interesting thing happening in NFL this year. Maybe not so much interesting, just interesting to me. You know that defensive back for the Kansas City Chiefs by the name of Eric Berry?
Yes.
You guys know two of his brothers are on NFL teams this year.
Right.
Which is amazing. And now we were talking about Cleveland and receivers. I didn't realize that Evan Berry was a receiver because he's on the Cleveland Browns depth chart the receiver. I thought he was a linebacker, but no, that's not the case. Elliot, his brother, is a linebacker who's on the Chiefs roster, which is interesting. So I just wanted to bring that up. They all came from the Fairburn, I think it was Creekside High School in Atlanta, just outside of Atlanta. Why do I know that? That's where my son went to school. And then before he transferred and graduated from another high school. But he was telling me about the Berries a long, 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 long time.
And I do remember
ago.
You saying that, yeah.
So big up to the Berries. I just wanted to bring that up. It's an interesting story. But since we were talking about Cleveland receivers and I saw Evan Berry's name there, I'm like, wow. I mean, but I don't know if he would be that type of receiver who could replace in a Josh Gordon or a Jarvis Landry. No, I'm not talking about that. But I was just looking at the depth chart.
Well, there was some talk that John Dorsey, the GM for the Browns, had talked about bringing in Dez Bryant.
I saw that too. That was my next thing I was going to ask you about. There he go. Look, Mr. Antonio Brown fan over here. So Dez Bryant couldn't get to the Browns.
All in good reason. I just can't see that. I mean, Dez Bryant is like, what does he want? You know what I'm saying? I mean, at this point, free agency has been going on since what, March? And he turned down one contract.
Right, with the Ravens?
Right, with Baltimore, which everybody just knew he was going to. So I'm like, what do you want, dude? At this point, you better take whatever someone throws at you.
I mean, I think, these players have big egos. You know, they think that they can still play at a high level or a certain level that demands a certain compensation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know he has declined in his stats the last few years. I can't remember the last time he had a 1,000-yard receiving season, but it's been a few years, so he's clearly not the player that he was when he first came into the league, and he's had some injuries. So, I mean, I think it's time for him to back down off of, you know, if he's looking to, I know he's not an elite receiver anymore. I hope he doesn't think he's still an elite receiver because the stats don't bear it.
Not at all.
But yeah, I agree with you. I don't know what he's looking for, but I think that he is going to have to back down if he's looking at $12 million a year. Because I believe the Ravens offer was somewhere in the neighborhood of $12 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to have to back down off of that. I know Cleveland has a ton of cap space, the most in the league, so they could conceivably afford him, but I don't know that they're willing to overpay unless situation with Josh Gordon dictates that they need a receiver, an established receiver in the league to come in and be on that roster.
Here's what's interesting, though. I'm looking at his stats from last year. He had 838. I didn't even know he had that. 838 yards. Now, his best season, like you said, the 1,000-yard season was 14, when he pretty much was one of the top receivers in the league. 1,320 with 16 touchdowns, and that, you know, he was a beast. And that was right when was that? That was before. That was before Dak Prescott. That was still the Tony Romo era. He has to humble himself. Someone will give him a 1-year deal.
Maybe.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously.
I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, it's Dez Bryant. I mean, why not? I mean, he's not going to make big money. I mean, he's almost at the point where he has to be humble and accept pretty much what the team is offering him at this point. Because if he's not getting the takers, I mean, he can't demand it. Yeah.
You know, I mean, at this point, you know, we're now talking. You know, training camp is open, and he's not on the roster. Is there something wrong?
Yeah.
And are teams looking at him like I don't know if he, you know, I know he's a, I don't want to say flamboyant, but, you know, his career wise, he's fell into that diva wide receiver.
Right.
So, do teams want to take a chance on bringing that into the locker room, especially at a certain dollar figure? So I think that's kind of the hang up.
Well, the thing is, man, when players have been known to stir up a little bit of controversy, I'm sure the coaches and general managers would be like, look, okay, we're going to sign you and give you a chance, but if you act up once, you're gone, period. And somebody just needs to say that to him. Like, the world doesn't revolve around you.
I think they're saying it without saying it.
Yeah, well, yeah, the fact that he hasn't been signed yet. Here's a bone. What do you think, and I'm not saying that they're desperate for receivers, but they don't have no big-name receiver right now. What do you think about the defending champs throwing him some money?
The Eagles?
Possibly.
Why?
I mean, it's just a thought.
No, I'm asking why. Why would they have to? I mean, because, they don't have a quote-unquote superstar receiver, but they got good receivers.
Yeah, they do. In fact, I didn't realize that. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
Mike Wallace.
Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah.
I liked him when he was in Chicago. I mean, he wasn't, you know, and I think he had gotten injured or something hampered him reaching his potential, so to speak, but he's a consistent receiver.
And the key is obviously he would have to fit their system. I mean, Darren Sproles, hopefully he'll be back because, if he's back, you know, they'll probably use him more of a little speedster receiver than his actual position at running back like they always do anyway. So, it's true. I mean, it was just a thought. And then there was one more team I was thinking of. Of course, KC was a thought that crossed my mind. Yeah, I mean, if you're talking just contenders anyway, you know. So, but he'll get snatched up by somebody, though.
Excuse me, but the point was the fact that he's at the point now where he pretty much may have to take what's offered when it comes to the dollars. Right. He's not in a position where he has clout, so to speak, where he can demand the dollar.
Oh, I know a team that'll get him. The one team that always gets players like this, and it's going to be Washington. You watch.
Washington? The Redskins? Man, no sleep on the Redskins, man. I'm not mad at the Redskins. They, for one, when I look at the Washington Redskins, you guys know I cover HBCU football, and the Redskins give HBCU players an opportunity. Martez Carter, who's out of Grambling State, is a running back, and he's a fearsome running back. They called him Mr. Showtime.
I like his height.
And he gave him a good reason. He gave a good reason because he could return punts, kicks, and he was dangerous anytime he touched the ball. Remember last time we were talking about a breakaway runner? Martez Carter could be a breakaway runner. And then also the Washington Redskins have given Danny Johnson, who's a safety out of Southern University, and he was an All-American last season. I know I'm talking about rookies, but the Redskins are giving them a look. And the Redskins in the past have given a lot of HBCU players looks. And the Redskins aren't a bad franchise. I just think that the development of the players under the former coach just wasn't there.
Right, and I do agree with that. And then also the question is, they overpaid for Alex Smith. And yes, he's proven himself after 14 years. How's he going to do? How's he going to mesh?
I question that.
I never agree with it at all.
Yeah, because I think Alex Smith had a good year last year with the Chiefs, but what happens if that was the last good year that Alex Smith is going to have? And I don't mean to look down on him. He's an NFL quarterback.
Right.
I mean, I'm on the couch, like I said before. If you're in the NFL, to me, you're a superstar. You do your thing.
Well, he better not go back. He better not get hurt because I didn't realize Colt McCoy. My goodness.
And they just signed Colt McCoy. Then they just gave him an extension through 2019.
Oh, man. I don't know. They're going to be staring up at the rest of the NFC East, man.
Well,
you think?
I think because the Giants are going to be better.
And really why better. Are the Giants going to be better? Didn't they just give Saquon Barkley for 4 years? Yeah. Was it almost $50 million? Is that right?
Yeah, but here's a question. Is that the new trend now? What? Guaranteed contracts in an NFL?
Are the players getting smarter? Are the rookies and their agents getting smarter?
Yeah, because they gave your boy that too, Baker Mayfield. Yeah, so that's true.
And you talked about, you were one of the people, Ray and Vince and I might have given you some pushback, but you were one of those people talking about Saquon Barkley's going to end up with the Giants. Saquon Barkley's going to end up with the Giants.
That's how I feel, man. I really did, yeah. I mean, because Jonathan Stewart's on his last leg, so what better than a draft a good running back to build your team around in addition to Eli Manning, still doing this thing.
And speaking of Eli Manning and Saquon Barkley, what about moving Odell Beckham Jr. to the slot? That's dangerous.
Why not?
They're saying he's getting reps at the slot position.
Mm-hmm. What about paying him?
Well, yeah, I mean, pay him. Pay him.
Yeah, again, they have to pay him.
Just like in the case of Julio Jones. Mm. Pay the man.
Right.
He's already proven to you that he's a commodity. Right. He's already proven that he's a talent. I'm going to pay him. What's the problem?
And it's funny. Like you mentioned a little bit ago, the Redskins overpaying for a guy like Alex Smith. Do we talk about that a lot? Skill players getting overpaid, but we can overpay for quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's just the market. I think we talked about that last week. How the market of a quarterback is just blown way out of proportion. It is, and they're capitalizing on it. I mean, goodness gracious!
How good is a quarterback if he doesn't have receivers to throw to?
Good, I mean, absolutely. That's why I really believe that Washington is probably going to look. In fact, I'll put my Joe Namath guarantee on the table and say that Washington's going to get him.
That Washington's going to get who?
It's going to get Dez Bryant. I really believe that. But not to jump off topic, but it's a good point. Quarterback's value sometimes gets blown out of proportion. They're talking about the money that Aaron Rodgers from Green Bay may get. Now he's not signed yet, but he's going to be the one to break the bank.
I read a story that he wasn't too concerned right now.
No, even
though we've been there's been talk for weeks, like weeks on weeks about him being the next guy to sign the big deal, and it hasn't happened. And I find it interesting that he's not concerned.
No.
But there are some other players that have to be concerned.
Right.
I mean, Le'Veon Bell is concerned about getting his money.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Donald is concerned about getting his money.
Absolutely.
Odell Beckham, Khalil Mack. Earl Thomas.
Yeah. And Earl Thomas don't have a team. So who going to get him?
Well, he's still signed with Seattle.
Oh, open to a trade. I take that back.
Right. He wants to trade. Like if you're not going to pay me, you know, then trade me.
Right.
And so, you know, I just find it interesting that you know, there's a group of guys that are definitely concerned.
Right.
But, you know, quarterbacks don't usually have to worry about that, do they?
Not at all. In fact, when's the last time we heard of a quarterback holding out?
Right. Even threatening to hold out.
Man, it's been a long, long time.
Tom Brady.
Did he threaten?
No, I guess he didn't threaten.
They always reworked his deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, he always got his money.
Yeah.
But now whether he held out or saying he didn't come to OTAs or whatnot, you know, voluntary workouts is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we get the mandatory and when the games count, I can't recall the last quarterback.
It's been a while.
That has talked about sitting until he gets his money.
Yeah.
But all these skill receivers, all these other positions have to sweat it out, have to make demands, have to, you know, I mean, we talk bad about the players that are trying to get their money.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking about this all week. You know, fans talk about it. Sometimes owners talk about it. The loyalty in sports.
Yeah.
There is no loyalty.
No.
I mean,
at the moment
that the owner, the GM, a coach feels that a player is not worth the hassle, the contract, he's gone.
Yep. And at that point, they don't owe him nothing as far as like having to pay them.
Right.
Yeah. So that's
I mean,
true.
And you know, that's why I think it's, you know, I like the idea of players leveraging what they can, not only to get their contracts, but to get that guaranteed money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if the trend for the NFL, at least for rookies, is to pay them a 4 or 5 year deal as guaranteed,
mm-hmm.
I think players are going to be extremely happy about that. But yet we have to see how far does that trickle down,
right.
Not only to, you know, like we know the top five or so players that get drafted are in line for those guaranteed deals. But how far does that trickle down as we get to through the first round, through the second round and whatnot?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure, you know, players in the third round aren't going to get guaranteed contracts.
Not.
You know, I mean, maybe they sign a shorter term deal, you know, for a lot, you know, whatever the rookie scale is,
right.
You know, just to get some, you know, 2 or 3 years guaranteed versus a 4 or 5 year deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's interesting to watch as we go forward to see if that transpires in the NFL.
And speaking of moving forward, that's the end of the second quarter. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr. We'll be back with more NFL talk, and then we'll make a transition to NBA because some things are happening in the NBA as well. And then maybe a little bit of NHL and MLB talk. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. We'll be back after this.
HBCU Sports with Trevin A. Jones, weekly on Urban Media Today Radio. A full report on all HBCU sports action. Also join us on a weekly basis on Urban Media Today Talking Sports with our host Trevin A. Jones, sports columnist Ray Porter Jr., sports reporter Vince Butts, and the big guy Alan Lincoln. That's all happening weekly on Urban Media Today Radio.
Urban Media Today Talk Sports, Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr. Talking to NFL talk because the training camps had opened this week, and Ray's going to be at the Steelers training camp today. And before we make the transition from the NFL, Ray, What do you expect today at the Steelers training camp?
Just expect more getting deep into the drills, be putting on the pads, you know, doing the basic things that need to be done. You know, their mindset is that they believe they can go all the way this year. Of course, I reserve judgment because defense wins championships and you need a defense. But I love the confidence, and they just have to put that hustle behind that muscle, as they say. So I look forward to that. I look forward to seeing how the rookies develop, like first-round draft pick Terrell Edmonds, and they're going to try to use him into some hybrid schemes. And that's the other thing, too. As you can see, slowly but surely, Pittsburgh, they're not saying it per se, but it seems like they've pretty much done it, moving away from that base 3-4, trying to mix some hybrids. And, of course, who's going to fill in for the missing Ryan Shazier? So that's the question. So it's just they want one of the safeties to do it. They signed Colvin from the Indianapolis Colts. They still got a couple that holdovers too on the inside. But who's going to do it? Who's going to take the bull by the horns? Because it's needed.
So that's going to be a big camp battle.
Yeah, it's going to be a big camp battle. And, I mean, I don't think the concern is who's going to replace Mike Mitchell. I mean, that's just like saying who's going to replace me, actually. So that's Edmonds will probably fill in there.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, explain that one.
Did he just say?
I will explain it, and I'm sorry. Mike Mitchell is a class act off the field. I will give that to him, but I'm sorry. His uniform should have been painted green because teams ran all over him.
All right. I'm still trying to look. Vince, you got to help me out here because I'm looking at the sign, that our logo, which is on our website. You can check it out. It says Urban Media Today Talks Sports. I don't see – I'm trying to move letters around, and I do not see Ray Porter Jr. there.
Just keep looking, man. It'll show.
I'm trying. I'm like, is this subliminal or something?
You're funny.
You said trying to replace me?
I'm
Did
saying
just
that.
Go there?
Just being sarcastic. That I'm sorry. And you know what? This is what I heard. I heard this about Mike Mitchell, too. Apparently,
See?
Pittsburgh. I just got choked up over the words. Pittsburgh West apparently is looking at Mike Mitchell. The Arizona Cardinals. They signed Arthur Motes, the former linebacker, who was just excellent in community, you know. So, but I'm sorry, man. He was one of the reasons why their defense was as challenging and bad as they were last year.
I get it. Not a problem. Mm-hmm. All right, so you'll be at the Steelers training camp today, which is going to be awesome. And we're based in Pittsburgh, for those of you who don't know. This is a national show, of course. It's all over the country. It's actually global because there's been listeners that listen to the station as far as Germany. And it's awesome to know that because I'm hoping it's military folks, because if the military is listening to us, that's awesome.
Right. Absolutely.
Just to be able to entertain them while they protect us. We have the utmost respect for anybody that's in the military. Speaking of military, I want to get to that NFL position on that the anthem thing, but that's a whole different conversation. So maybe we'll save that for another time. Yeah. I just don't like the way the Dolphins backslid.
Isn't that horrible?
Messi tried to make it look like they could punish a player for not standing for the anthem or respecting the flag.
They weren't the only ones.
No, they weren't. And the Baltimore Ravens, the day before, had filed their submission to the NFL, but they didn't say anything. My thing with that issue is, if you're not paying attention, America, the flag is being disrespected every day when you're putting the flag on clothing, and you're not supposed to do that. So if you're truly going to be patriotic and say that you're a patriotic person and you want to go by the bylaws, so to speak, or the standards of having the American flag and respecting it, it's supposed to be up on that flagpole very high and waving proudly, and you're supposed to respect that and leave it alone. You don't use it for propaganda. You don't use it for marketing. You don't use it for to make money. But I get it with the NFL. It has come out that, you know, the military actually pays the NFL so that they get that type of promotion. So, you know what? All due respect to the military. If you have to use that in a way to get the young ones coming up to actually want to enlist or be a part of it, of what's going on, then by all means, you are the military. You protect us. So you do what you have to do to get the numbers that you need to protect us. I have no problem with that. But I just don't like when people get on their soapbox and start yelling about certain things, and then you haven't studied it. So that's my whole point to this even little soapbox spiel that I just did.
Very about as perfect as I've heard somebody say it. it is a contradiction, period. And it's really a shame that when people look, especially our people, look at the American flag, it's not like it, like it's supposed to be.
Well, I'm going to put it out there, Ray. Me as a black person, I don't look at the flag the same way any other person does because of the history that's behind it with us. I mean, I'm going to say it. I'm a proud black man. Mm-hmm. And I've lived my life here in America, and I respect America. I would not want to be anything else but an American. I'm not sorry to say it, but I mean, if anybody's offended, I would be proud to be an American.
Right.
But at the same time, I want to be an American that has his eyes wide open and it is not going to try to put history or any type of facts you know behind me and act like it didn't happen. We all know what happened.
Right.
You can't say that. No, that's what it as a black person, me as a black person, I'm only gonna speak for myself. I can't speak for anybody else.
Right.
That's the way I see it. You know, you have to respect it and give respect, and I'm not gonna let anybody disrespect. But at the same time, hey, you, those of you who are yelling that it's being disrespected, wait a minute now. Let's tell both sides of the story.
Right. And that's what I meant by the contradiction. So it's true. I definitely agree. But
can
I say this? I wanted to do some fillers in there. For the Steelers, the training camp battles at inside linebacker will be between Keon Adams, who was drafted last year, John Bostic, who they grabbed from the Colts, and then L.J. Fort, who, I don't know, special teams. And then also Matthew Thomas, who is an undrafted player out of Florida State, who basically boldly proclaimed that he could take the place of Ryan Shazier. So that'll be the battle, the inside linebacker battle. We shall see. I have a question for you about the Giants, though, man. Mm-hmm. And I know you know. Mm-hmm. I noticed that there's a young man who's a rookie, and I'm thinking you might have spoken about him before, out of Bethune-Cookman, by the name of Jawill Davis, 6'1", 91.
Yep. Watching Bethune-Cookman football and knowing how he has played, I think he's versatile enough, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, I miss those days, man, when the Giants had the little – I mean, other than, of course, Beckham, but when they used to – when they had a couple other good little receivers that got it done for them. Mm-hmm. So it seems like with the addition of Beckham, they're retooling. And if he doesn't switch over, if Davis doesn't switch over to linebacker, maybe he'll be a nice little playmaker for Eli.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. That might work. Anyway, all right, so let's make the transition from the NFL to the hoops, because I want to know where Carmelo Anthony is going to end up. Any suggestions? In Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken, didn't Atlanta just sign? Hold on. Was it?
Vince Carter. Yes, they did. Huh?
Atlanta just signed Vince Carter.
Vince Carter. That's what I was talking about. Years. Vince Sanity. And Vince has been in the league for almost 20 years, right?
Yeah consistent, okay. Man. Wow.
His 21st year.
His 21st year. Yeah.
I didn't even realize he was in Sacramento last year. Wow.
Yeah, well, when you talk about black holes, that's a black hole. When I think of Sacramento Kings, how many people outside of California probably
like
pay attention to Sacramento Kings? No disrespect to the organization or the franchise.
Right.
But, I mean, you had Boogie Cousins there for a long time.
Right. And that's the truth.
Yeah, hey, last time I paid attention to Sacramento was when they had White Chocolate.
Uh-huh.
Jason Williams. Wow.
And some people don't even know who Jason Williams is, so that's a long time ago, brother.
Right. How about the Chris Webber and Paige Estewalk? Right. Okay. Yeah.
That was a decent team.
The team that some people feel like got cheated out of the conference finals because of the referees. Ooh. Going back, huh?
Yeah.
Break it down, analyst.
I mean, again, when you say black hole, I think of
I like it.
Sacramento, the Sacramento Kings.
See, perfect.
But I don't mean any disrespect to Sacramento. But I was talking about Atlanta, right? How do we get to Sacramento? Anyway, we talk about Vince Carter signing with the Sacramento Kings. Signing with the Atlanta Hawks. And you got Carmelo Anthony, who I guess had to have that buyout.
Yeah.
And ended up with Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And then going to be waived.
Yep.
And it's for certain now that he's going to be waived.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And where does he end up? And everybody's saying Houston.
I'm saying it, too.
Yeah, Houston.
Both of you say Houston.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he try to go to L.A.?
You think L.A. would want him, though?
They have to want him.
Yeah.
And I think, he wanted to go to Houston last year. He was pushing for that, and it didn't happen. So there's, there's that. Wanting to play with Chris Paul and James Harden, because they lost Trevor Ariza, he could just sort of fit into what Trevor Reasoner was. Mm-hmm. He won't be as athletic, and I believe he's older than Ariza, so he won't play the same defense, but he should provide them some scoring, mm-hmm. which I think they're going to need.
So does Melo now come out of a reserve role? He ended up being a reserve player in OKC, believe it or not.
He said he didn't want to.
Okay.
So it's going to be interesting. A player of his stature, but a player at his skill set at this point in his career. Mm-hmm. I think, sometimes, we talked about this earlier, players having to check their ego mm-hmm. at the door.
Right.
There's a situation where at this point in your career, mm-hmm. like you've made all the money, mm-hmm. you've got all the stats. It should be about championships. Mm-hmm. It should be about fitting in to what that situation is, and if he's going to Houston, which all the indications point that way, mm-hmm. You've got to assimilate yourself into that culture, mm-hmm. not come in and be I'm this and I'm that. Yeah. You look at KD going and any other player that went to Golden State. You fit into the system for the betterment of the team. And so I don't think at this point, I haven't heard Carmelo say he wants to win a championship or right. he's pushing, like everything is about winning a championship
right.
As other players in the past have. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what, I don't know what his expectation is. I don't know what his motivation is. And I think if he doesn't compromise, I think it's going to be a bad fit.
Yeah. Well, of course. But you said KD and going to Golden State. Man, KD, Golden State didn't need KD.
They didn't need him.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, I mean, so that was for him. That was in everybody was rich. That's all I can say. That's the rich getting richer.
We seem to be moving towards all the star power being on certain teams.
Right.
So a team like Golden State, who was already, like you say, rich with talent, you add a guy like KD, and he still, no matter what, he still had to fit. There had to be a certain fit. There were certain things he was going to have to give up. There were certain things that he was going to be able to do and have to do going to that team. Because of the good athletes they have on that team, mm-hmm. he was able to play, coming from a weak side and help out defensively. So you saw his blocks go up.
Right.
I think in Anthony's case, there's a certain resolve and stance that he's carrying when it comes to Houston that he probably hasn't had probably since he was drafted by Denver. And I think that he knows that he can come in. He knows James Harden, his role, and, of course, Chris Paul and his role. So he's coming to a bunch of seasoned veterans, and it's no disrespect to Westbrook or Paul George. Mm-hmm. But you got those two and the way they are and a team that won 65 games last year, I believe that he's going to come in humble.
I don't know. I mean, I think that he has to have the mindset like Jamal Crawford. Jamal Crawford, extremely talented player, accepts a role coming off the bench
mm-hmm.
and comes down, ready to shoot. Carmelo Anthony can be that for Houston.
C.J. McCollum and Kevin Durant got into it earlier this week where Kevin Durant went on C.J. McCollum's podcast and pretty much schooled him. Because he said, don't worry about what's happening up top. You just play. You just be you. Kevin Durant basically told him, you guys have no shot of winning the championship. It's like,
and then he's right.
And then it's like, don't worry about it. And CJ's like, no, we can win it. We got potential. And then when you look at the Portland Trail Blazers roster, it's like, all right, bro, y'all won Summer League. And that's right. What the newbies coming in. Okay, we're not even talking about the regulars and the pros yet. But not to really disrespect the Portland Trail Blazers, but you don't have the firepower. You don't have the star power that the Golden State Warriors have. As a matter of fact, and you guys might have to correct me on this, the Los Angeles Lakers don't even have the star power that the Golden State Warriors have. Because you got LeBron, yes, but everybody else is based on potential. Up-and-comers. You don't have established. The Golden State Warriors have established veteran star power. What other team in the league has established veteran star power? At one point, it was the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's all broken up now.
and
other Boston than, Celtics,
and other than the champs, yeah. of course, you know,
right,
and in yeah. Philly,
but Boston showed out, you know, but yeah, I mean, you got Kyrie, Terry Rozier, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown,
don't forget Marcus Smart,
Marcus Smart. I mean, that team is, you know, Gordon Hayward. That team is Al Horford. It's stacked. Mm-hmm. It is stacked. Yeah. I mean, the only thing that stops them from winning a championship, opposite Golden State being the favorite, is injuries.
Right. And real quick, before you even go there, we're going to take a real quick timeout going into the fourth quarter. That's the third quarter, and that's over. Talking about NBA hoops. We'll talk more about NBA hoops and more right after this.
You have $19.99. What could you do with that? You can fill up your gas tank, stop by a local coffee shop. You may need to add a little bit more to that. Maybe a matinee ticket to the movies. Matinee, though. What about subscribing to UrbanMediaToday.com? No, think about it. For just $19.99, you'll receive exclusive podcasts, interviews, entertainment updates, sports reports, and more. A VIP subscription to Urban Media Today is more than just a magazine subscription. It's access to the urban lifestyle. UrbanMediaToday.com is your only source for HBCU sports. Plus, you have direct access to awesome prizes like gift cards, swag, concert tickets, and your $19.99 supports another minority-owned business. That's pretty cool, right? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com right now and subscribe for just $19.99 a year. Not a month, not a week, but a year. You've always wanted to be a VIP, right? Well, here's your chance. Subscribe today for just $19.99 at UrbanMediaToday.com. You can thank us later. Take a tambourine,
go on, get yourself a whistle and take a tambourine, go on. Urban Media Today Talk Sports, it's the fourth quarter. We've been talking NBA hoops. And, of course, I've been listening to our analyst, Mr. Vince Butts, who's pretty much on point. He's been on spot on when he's talking about the teams. We'll talk about a couple more because I'm just interested. Vince, what's the take on the Washington Wizards when you have John Wall, Bradley Beal, and now you have Howard in the at the center? Now, and before you even go there, Washington perplexed me when they sent Marcin Gortat to the Los Angeles Clippers for Austin Rivers. And I was like, what in the world is going on? Mm. But then you bring in Howard as your big man. And I'm like, okay, then maybe you had that in the plans all along. But for Austin Rivers, like, what's Austin Rivers going to contribute to the Washington Wizards? No disrespect to Austin, but you've been playing for Dad for the past 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, he's sitting behind John Wall and Bradley Beal, even, you know, a little bit of Otto Porter, you know, in the backcourt. Mm-hmm. So, maybe he gets a chance to learn behind those guys. I Washington is just one of those teams that is just kind of stuck in the middle. They haven't added the right piece to get them over. They have decent talent. I'm a Kelly Oubre fan, mm-hmm. But he's not going to help them get over the hump. He's that guy, sort of like Marcus Smart. He's going to do some of the dirty work. He's going to do mm-hmm. some of the things that don't show up in the stat sheet. Mm-hmm. What they need is Otto Porter to really step up and be that third scorer. Mm-hmm. Because I think they can play good defense, but the NBA is moving towards more scoring. You know, so guys have to be able to come out and score the ball mm-hmm. and they be able to be decent defenders. So can mm-hmm. Can Porter raise his level of play? We know Bradley Beal is a phenomenal player. John Wall, I think, has he's one of the best point guards in the league. Mm-hmm. I think that I'd like him to be a little bit more consistent and efficient. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen him in the playoffs. I saw him, just not like he had the ball in his hands, but then he passed up a shot or two, mm-hmm.
You talking about John Wall or Bradley Beal?
John Wall. So I mean, as a, I know he's a point guard,
right.
But he's the leader of that team, and his leadership got questioned.
Yeah.
You know, and when he went down, you know, and they were saying that, you know, they were playing better without him,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, debatable. But he really has to step up his game to mm-hmm. a superstar level. Otherwise, I mean, they're mediocre at best.
And that's an interesting point that you just made. You said that John Wall's the leader of the team, but he's not making the most money on the team.
No, he's
Bradley
not.
Bradley Beal's making the most money on the team. Bradley yep. Beal's getting paid $25 million this year.
Mm-hmm.
John Wall's only getting 19.
But you know what? That's interesting. In reading about the Kevin Love deal,
mm-hmm.
I saw that in the last year of his deal, going to make like $27, $28
million,
mm-hmm. John Wall's going to make $47 million. In the last year of his deal.
What?
$47 million for John Wall.
Gracious. In the last.
Okay.
So Dwight Howard, I think, can be a decent player for the Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
The Wizards go as far as John Wall takes him.
Got it. So as we wrap up the fourth quarter, like we do every week, and we started doing even more, I'll leave you guys with the last word. This time we can start with you, Ray. What's your last word?
Start with me. Oh, thank you. can I say this too on a sidebar? On Sunday it'll be my wife Nikki and my 12th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you,
so
sir.
So tomorrow will be your 12th. You'll be celebrating.
That's right. And although I wanted to give her an autographed picture of me and take her to Burger King, I'm just kidding. That's not going to happen. But just know, Nikki, know that I love you dearly. And You've just pretty much been it for me, my life, my heart, and I love you, and I'm grateful for 12 years.
Wow, that's Amen. Awesome, man.
Make my dreams reality, as Tone said in his song. Thank you, my brothers.
Can't say nothing after that, man. What do you say after that? No, congratulations to you and Nikki. Yeah, that's
Thank
awesome,
you, sir.
Man. Yeah, no doubt. Go ahead, Vince.
This Saturday is Open Streets Pittsburgh.
Okay.
They will be. They're gonna cut off streets in Homewood, Point Breeze. Come out. Come out after the show. Listen to the show, and then I think about 9 o'clock, you can come out to Open Streets Pittsburgh. This might be the last weekend. They do it 4 weekends in the summer. So come out today. Come through Homewood, Point Breeze. Check it out. There's gonna be There's a lot of stuff going on. Get your bike. Ride around. You can walk. Bring the kids out. It's going to be a beautiful day. Come out and enjoy Open Streets Pittsburgh.
All right. That's pretty Open cool. Streets Pittsburgh. Got an anniversary over there. Got Open yeah. Streets Pittsburgh. I'm going to go to what I call Soul on Ice. And for those people who say black folks don't play hockey, man, I got news for you. Black folks play hockey. Mm-hmm. Jerome Iginla is going to retire after 1,553 games. He scored 625 goals. 13,000 points over 20 seasons with five NHL teams, and he's 41 years old, and he's an MVP, and July 30th, he's going to hang it up with the Calgary Flames. I mean, he spent 16 seasons with the Flames, and he became the franchise leader with 525 goals, which is 1,095 points, in addition to power play goals of 161 and game-winning goals with 83, and he ranked second in assists with 609. So, and he's an all-star. So Jerome Iginla, who played for the Calgary Flames, NHL superstar, is going to retire. Soul on Ice.
Absolutely. I like that. And I remember when when Pittsburgh acquired him in 2012-2013. People were excited.
Really? He played in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
I didn't even realize he had played in Pittsburgh.
He was in Boston, and Boston was sucking up the joint, and mm-hmm. Pittsburgh was a contender for the Stanley Cup. So he had a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he was choosing to play for Pittsburgh because of playing with Sidney Crosby and Evangie Malcolm. But the problem was he was out of position. They didn't put him in the right position there as a wing. I believe he was a left winger and they had him a right wing. But that team should have went all the way. But I like the fact that he was there. And it also just let people know, of course, that there are African-Americans in hockey. And he is truly a future Hall of Famer. That's his next stop.
Okay. So that's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. Big up to Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, they held it down, man. Vince was on it with the NBA. Ray was holding it down with the NFL. Man, I ain't really had to do nothing.
Oh my gosh, he gave me a compliment, man. You got to play some music. I'm gonna have to take back the Terrible Town now.
Well, you never brought it in.
That's right.
Well,
pick up that flag and take it home with your boy.
Think about it. I can't even say nothing. That was funny.
Well, we always have fun right here. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports every Saturday. The replay is this evening at 6 p.m. Ray Porter Jr. is about to bust out of here because he got to go to Steelers training camp. And then he's going to celebrate an anniversary. You got a busy weekend, bro.
Yeah, it is going to be busy. In fact, a busy two weekends, but starting with the anniversary, though.
That's awesome. All right, shout out to Aubrey Bruce, who's normally here with us, a little under the weather. Aubrey, we wish you a speedy recovery. And to the big guy, Alan Lincoln, can't wait for you to get back. Mike Ford is always open. Tune in to us again today at 6 p.m. for the replay, or next weekend because there's plenty more of where this came from. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. We'll see you next weekend.
Urban Media Today talks sports every week on Urban Media Today Radio, where you can listen in on free music and podcasts on our SoundCloud station at Urban Media Today. And for more information, log on to urbanmediatoday.com, your lifestyle, entertainment, and sports blog website.
What type of games being played? How's it doing down? I get up, all right?